As we last left off in Revival, Elias had completely abandoned the party, and they were almost certainly going to die. This is episode 30 of Revival, a Dungeons & Dragons Real Play podcast.
I mean, if you guys honestly, like, run into some sort of death mauler giant bugbear thing at a damn truck stop, I'm going to be upset.
But yeah, let's go ahead, let's get on the road here,
I mean, it's not that far away.
Yeah.
I've got some stuff I want to do.
We're not going on a fucking exodus here.
I mean, we could.
Anyway, let's get on our way here.
Yeah.
Before we do that.
I swear to God, Jerry.
Well, I just wonder, like, could Patton fashion something so that we can communicate with John while he's riding the motorcycle? Just in case
we need a radio?
Yeah, I thought we only had one of them.
You can get more.
You're in a town.
Okay, so specifically, I want a helmet with like the walkie-talkie built into it. I'm not carrying one down.
I'm sorry, hold on. One second. Let's think about this. Would John really wear a helmet?
I mean, if it had a walkie-talkie in it.
That's a good point.
And like a visor? Like, hell yeah.
That's true. That was my only concern here is, how realistic is it for John to wear a helmet?
Yeah, if it was just like a safety first helmet, I mean, honestly, probably not.
Like a visor with like
don't
some
be John, kids.
Some like holy shit on there, that could work.
I don't think John would stoop to the like flaming cross, only God can judge me motif on his helmet.
Let's just get in the car and go.
Well, John's gonna get on his bike for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't tell me what to do, Jay.
I'll jerry-rig something up. Do you want to keep your hat on, John?
Don't you mean patent-rig something up?
Yeah, what did I say?
You said jerry-rig. You don't want to jerry-rig
no.
it. It'll
Hell
end up
no,
crappy.
No, no, Jerry, you keep your hands off. You keep your hands off that.
I don't want to help patent this.
That's spirit.
But yeah, Tim, do you want John to like keep his cowboy hat on, or do you want to get like a helmet? Because I can rig something up to keep the cowboy hat on there pretty snug.
You're going to wear a cowboy hat on top of the helmet? This isn't TF2.
No. That was my first thought. But no, I'm sure you can put it somewhere.
You've got horns on your head. It's just real quick. I can make a wire. Like, it's not hard. Like,
no,
that's
definitely something that Patton could do.
I'll just make you something. Your hat stays snug on your head. It's snug as a bug. You got a little radio on there. I put a little in-ear radio thing, so it's not. John, you can speak with us. We're fine. We're good.
Yeah, but that's exactly like one third as cool.
You still got your cowboy hat on. It's not snug as a bug. You can hold on to it with one hand if you want.
Can you stop saying snug as a bug?
Just put it in the saddlebag. We're not spending this much goddamn time on whether or not John wears a hat.
No, this has been pretty great for me because it's
you ain't gonna make me a helmet, I'll take it, but
Christ right. Almighty.
Can we just say that we make something so he can talk to us and leave?
Yeah, sure.
That was my plan. I don't know why Tad's pushing that I wear my hat and not my helmet.
God damn
it. Seems like
it.
A weird thing to try and make me do.
We can decide what the helmet looks like later. It's not even relevant right now.
Yeah, I wasn't even gonna do the helmet thing.
Let's just go.
I'm not going to describe it. I'm not ready for this. Also, no one cares.
Patton, turn the car on. I can't drive. You do it.
So we're driving. After 40 minutes, we're driving.
Yes. So you guys are heading. So if you head back over towards the train yard there, there's a road that goes literally dead east. You follow that. Oh, look, it ends. Then you kind of get back onto another road, which would be a I-161, and then, oh, shit. So, you start driving through. This area is significantly less well-maintained, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, very significantly less well-maintained than the surrounding areas. You see, as you go east from that train yard, like, that's kind of, you know, the furthest out that people were actually, like, living in. But now this stuff is relatively untouched. Also, the overgrowth seems very large around here. Like, the road is made more or less entirely unpassable as these very, very large vines and trees are blocking the way. It takes a lot of doing to get up and over them. More so than the standard overgrowth that you've seen in other areas, this place looks far more like a forest has reclaimed it.
Cool. Sucks that I can't be there to see it.
I tried to warn him.
I mean, they could call you if they wanted to.
I mean, are they going to come and pick me up, or I can't drive over there?
It's actually not very far.
Tried to warn him.
Well, it depends. I mean, so my thinking for this was, and Elias' in-character thinking was, we've been going through these cities and towns and stuff, and I've seen about as much, like, overgrowth in towns as I could possibly deal with. It's not that interesting anymore. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So the congregation stuff with this weird magical aura is way more interesting, and I wanted to look at it closer to see if it has any effects on the plants that I didn't have time to analyze the last time we were here because shit went down.
Yeah, you're saving us an hour of plant talk with Elias.
So, but if you guys honestly, if you guys, once you get out there and you see that this is a forest looking thing and you think it's honestly pretty fucking weird enough that you would want to call me, then that's up to you.
It's definitely weird.
I mean, is a forest weird in and of itself, though?
So let me do a little bit more description here. These vines and trees and stuff do not look like the things that you have seen before. This place is very, very clearly very, very magic. Like, these aren't standard normal trees. If Patton knows a little bit about this sort of thing, this stuff's getting kind of weird. We're talking, like, crawling vines moving across the street. We're talking, like, trees that like, turn and bend to face you as you're coming towards them. Shit like that.
Right, so it's weird as fuck.
Well, thank you, God. I think that sums it up.
All right, we're going to call Elias. Ring, ring, Progresso.
Can we edit that out, please?
Also, Jerry, it's the wrong one. The picking up side has to say ring, ring, Progresso.
Yeah.
You ruined up the meme.
Ring, ring, biology.
Okay. All right, Elias, you know how you said there wouldn't be anything interesting out here?
Well, no, I didn't actually say that. Is there a reason you're calling me? I'm sort of in the middle of something here.
Yeah, you know, like, how there's, like, forests and things. And, like,
yes, Jerry,
trees
I'm well aware that forests exist. Could you get to the
trees are looking at us?
Jerry, there's these things on trees. They're called knots. Sometimes they look like eyes.
Now, you
but
might want to
they're
get
not
out
actually
here.
Eyes. Now,
they are moving
Giron,
and turning to look at
Giron,
us.
Giron, in the little knot hole, sees two eyes open up. You see a small bird fly by, and out of the knot hole, a giant Venus flytrap-looking creature with these big old, like, bug-like eyes just swoops out, grabs it, pulls it back into the knot.
Okay, yeah, that's definitely the most fucked up thing I've seen today.
Yes, Jerry, I'm sure that's quite interesting. If you've got more
Elias, a tree just ate a bird.
Well, now that is certainly interesting. Yes, I think that would bear further study. How am I going to get over here? I suppose I could ask for a ride really relatively quickly.
Why don't you go back and pick him up?
Am I able to turn back?
That shouldn't be necessary. I'll just ask
so actually,
for a
ride. Like, as you're the overgrowth is kind of closing in behind you.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Oh no.
I didn't think they were gonna let us leave. Let Good thing leave. I got a second character ready.
Can you not?
Like, you see those vines that you had, like, there were some vines that were, like, kind of crawling across the road faster than normal. And as you look back, it looks like a kind of, like, lattice has formed that starts pulling itself tight. And you see the trees start to move in very slowly, like, in on each other and then in on themselves, making a sort of wall.
So,
okay, they're trying
here,
to trap
right?
us in here.
Yes.
Have I had time to do the thing that I wanted to do that we talked about, the consumables? Maybe not all of them, but some of them.
Yeah. You can do that.
All right.
You bought 10 of those. What were they?
Talent
shards. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. I guess I should describe these as I assume that the radio is going to cut out at this point.
No, actually,
really?
Not.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It was still in contact. So I can hear their screams. Fun. So what I have here is what I've been doing with Specky in the interim period is basically Specky and I have been talking or conversing through sign language and or rock language, as we like to call it. And we've been looking at how to use Specky's fungal properties more effectively. And it turns out that being like a solid mass of rocks is kind of a pain in the ass a lot of times. Like big boulders, moving them around is sort of obnoxious and doesn't really help that much and isn't really necessary for maintaining a solid shape if Specky has enough mana. So Specky's been breaking down the larger rocks, finding better smooth rocks that sort of slide past each other more easily, and this has allowed Specky to start picking up samples pretty much all the time without needing to open up like some kind of orifice or vine to pull them in. So as Specky's been walking around, I've been having Specky take samples of pretty much everything, berries, barks, and distill them into little crystals. I'm mixing them with the minerals that Specky's been picking up. So if you want to imagine Specky as Specky's walking around, it's basically swapping out all of its rocks all the damn time.
Yeah, and trying out different combinations of various stuff to see if it can make something.
Right. Before, Specky just wanted to look like a cat all the time for whatever reason. Now Specky has come to understand that it's more useful to be vaguely cat-shaped, but swap out parts as needed. So what I've got are these talent shards. I've got 10 of them. And what they do is, where's the description here?
I think it'll show up when it shows up, unless you're popping one right now.
No, I'm not popping one right now.
Yeah, then you don't need to describe it right now, bro.
All
right,
I'll just leave off the description. Well, okay, so I'm going to go find Manway.
Manway is back over by that that big old garden that you guys were hanging out at.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe Sal's.
Hey, Manway, I guess there's some kind of situation going on. Jerry gave me... Oh, I guess he's still on the radio at this point, talking
trees
about...
Trees eating birds, Manway! It's pretty gnarly.
Yes, well...
Howdy, Manway. A forest ate your friends.
I guess they're stuck in some sort of tree forest. I'm not really sure. Anyway, it looks like it's probably best for me to go help them out of... whatever it is they've got themselves into. So, I can't really drive. If you could give me a lift to, I think it was east of the train yard, was where they said?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Just let me finish up what I'm doing here. Also, he kind of takes, you know, he grabs, like, one of your shoulders as you start walking towards the car. These people are five different sorts of insane.
Which people? Jerry or the congregation?
I guess both.
Well, the congregation people seem nice enough. Interesting belief system.
We can talk more about it later, but I am genuinely concerned about this place. Childlike wonder gave way to childlike terror. Anyway, Lazarus is letting me use this car while I'm here. Also, one of the ways in which they're insane, they're far too trusting of people and far too nice. It's genuinely unnerving.
I don't see it really as that concerning. They seem nice enough. It's rather refreshing, honestly. But anyway, I would like to get going, so adventure calls and all that.
Yeah. Here. And you guys get in. It's just a, you know, small sedan, probably like a Civic or something. Right? Or equivalent. Yeah. And you guys start driving on over. So, back to you guys. You aren't in any immediate, like, active danger from what you can see. Right?
Mm-hmm.
As you look back at these trees, at the bottom of them, you can see some of these, like, vines poking out of the trees, right? And kind of, like, pulling themselves along. And then occasionally you see out of the roots, or out of the like, knot holes of these trees, these little, like, Venus flytrap-looking creatures with, you know, the, what are they called? Compound eyes. Poke their heads out, scan around, and pop back in, and then drop all the vines out of the tree husk that they're in, and stay where they're at.
All right.
But the road ahead of you is still very, very, very rough, and behind you, these things have built a wall, kind of boxing you in. You see, you know, again, a couple of small creatures. As this happens, you know, a couple of small creatures tried to squeeze through the gaps as they were getting closed and get grabbed by these Venus flytrap things, and then settle down.
I mean, that seems sufficiently horrifying.
I'm gonna have Zep get in my shadow.
Question: are there any leeches?
No.
Okay, good. We're good. We'll be fine.
Cast detect leech on the forest.
Oh shit, here's leeches.
Dog, Jesus.
A giant leech monster peeks out from behind one of the trees. He's been waiting.
Can we not?
Round three, motherfucker.
Roll initiative.
So, anyway, what do you guys do in, like, the, you know, 15 minutes it's gonna take for him to get here?
I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna roll a perception to see if I can see how fast these are closing in on us and if they're going to be able to block our passage forward entirely, or if there's a way I can kind of like, you know, take a sharp turn, go whoop, you know, go on the shoulder of the road if I need to get around these things without them like grabbing at the tires or something.
Sure, sure.
Because we're still moving forward. I'm not about to stop this car. So I rolled a one.
Rolled in that one?
Stop.
Nice. Man, Patton is on a roll today. So,
what trees?
Looks like a normal forest.
Yeah, you start to get a little bit disoriented as they're moving along, right? Mm-hmm. You just keep going forward. But the other people who are not driving might notice it feels like you're kind of curving and turning around a bit. Like, it looked like you were going straight, but then you very quickly realize, yeah, you're not necessarily going anywhere. As you come into the middle of a clearing, in what looks like the remnants of a parking lot somewhere, as you see some rusted out cars with these vines crawling through them in a large flat area, the overhead forest canopy is completely blocking out all but just a few beams of light that are shining down into these things. As you come out into this clearing, and then you look behind you, and the trees have closed in, and you seem to be in a circular, large, overgrown parking lot.
Can I check to see if this is just natural, or if it's like a channeled spell?
Sure. Sounds like Arcana to me. Yeah.
All right.
That's actually a good question. Way to go, Jay.
Well, boys, it's a nat one.
Could you stop? Could you guys stop?
Can I roll to see why my friends are so fucking confident?
When Elias isn't there, the team is useless.
Elias, you roll so shitty, guys. Elias is so terrible, you never make rolls. Back-to-back nat ones. Come on now.
Can I want to roll something,
sure,
too.
What do you want to roll?
Can I use
Remember,
can I use insight?
Insight?
I'm thinking, hang on a second, something's happening in my head.
That's strange.
No, I want to see if these trees are intelligent or if they're like jellyfish levels.
Oh, that's a good question. That's rolling insight to see if they are, if they're like sentient creatures that you can read their actions.
I want to see if I can roll insight on
sure.
them. Sure. That's why I'm rolling insight.
Yeah, try. Yeah, you go for it.
Fuck yourself. I got a 16, so I got a 20.
You got a 20?
Yep.
Right. So you're trying to figure out like malicious intent, that sort of thing. Like seeing if you can get a handle on this.
That's pretty reasonable for John, honestly.
Yeah, like trying to get a hold on the situation, see if you can like get them to react to anything. And no, it doesn't look like it. It's just kind of a thing that's happening.
All right, so it's just kind of an ecosystem thing. That's just kind of the way this place is.
Yeah, seems like it. What Giron figures is you're trying to figure out if somebody is casting a spell here, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you feel a very strong magical signature from all around. This must be a very, very... Somebody must be doing this, and whoever is doing this is very powerful.
But that was a nat 1, right?
Yes.
But yeah, but you can't meta that.
Right. So Patton, I think Michael's up to his old tricks again. I don't know why he followed us all the way back here again. We didn't say there was an artifact over here, but you know, I think he's here. So, just get ready for that.
I mean, this looks like one of those weird things that happens. Kind of like that giant fungus golem. I think this is just a forest of deep people.
You know, like they do.
Like they do. So
I'm sure it happens sometimes out there.
Okay, so as the trees start to close a bit and you see a couple of them crawl over some cars, like uproot themselves and start crawling on top of these cars, they get all wobbly.
We're in the center right now, right?
No, you're on like one of the edges. Maybe you went in towards the center.
Okay.
Yeah. As that happens, we're going to cut back to Elias. So you're driving along, taking the same route as them.
Yeah, and Specky has its head out of the window.
Yes. And furthermore, their insistence in ignoring any and all signs of the tampering of, in the natural ecosystem caused by their strange magical abilities as simply being the will of God, it could potentially lead to catastrophic results.
Yeah, well, Manway, I mean... I don't know if you've noticed, but the introduction of mana into the ecosystem has already led to catastrophic results, and anything that happens from this point forward, it's basically just icing on the proverbial cake. I'm not really sure if there's an ecosystem to be salvaged at this point.
So, as you guys...
Did you just tell him it's literally the will of God?
Huh?
That's just a slightly reskinned, it's the will of God.
Well, no, it's not. I mean, the introduction of mana into this place has basically destroyed whatever natural ecosystem already existed.
So, not much we can do about it. Might as well just roll with it.
Well, I mean, there really isn't anything you can do about it.
I know.
I don't know if you noticed, but there's like magic fish that try and kill us. The place is fucked.
As you guys are driving down, as you guys start talking about that, you get a... You start to see the overgrowth get a bit thicker, right? And you see a wall, like, pretty far ahead, you see a wall of trees that opens up a little bit. Like, it starts to move open. And then you see a small rabbit with some weird, like, horn-like protrusions growing out all over its body.
A damn jackalope?
No, it's not a damn jackalope. It's just a weird mutated thing.
Oh, okay.
Tries to sprint out of the crack, and then you see a large vine with these big compound eyes. Grab it by the leg, drag it back in, and then the wall closes again. You hear some screeching, you know, rabbit-like screeching. Then it stops, and then it opens back up again.
Huh. That's certainly interesting. I haven't seen
Do you see what I'm talking about? This.
Well, to be perfectly honest, Manway, we don't really know anything about this.
Right, but rather than going, oh, maybe, just maybe, we should do something about this or look into this at all, they just write it off as unsolvable mysteries of the divine creation.
Well, they are pretty want to do that. I'm not sure you're going to have much success in convincing them otherwise.
Also, I'm not going in there.
I mean, suit yourself. It seems rather interesting to me. It looks like it's only really targeting animals of a sufficiently small size, so Specky, if you hop up on my shoulder, I don't think it'll give us any trouble. Well, Manway, if you'd like to leave, I suppose this is... Well, I suppose this would be where I get off. I'll do a little preliminary research before heading in. It doesn't seem like it bears any particular ill will. More predatory in nature. So, given the right stimulus, I should be alright. I'm gonna pull a match out of my bag, mm-hmm. light it, and hold it up to one of the vines. See how it reacts.
Okay. It's going to retract, like you go up to one of the knots in the trees mm-hmm. a little bit. Pull the vine. It's going to retract. You're going to see the vines spring out of the bottom of the tree where the root should be, and it starts scuttling away.
Right. So it doesn't actually notice that I'm a thing. It's just reacting to stimulus.
Potentially, yeah.
Well, okay, so I'm going to roll nature.
Sure.
Basically, what I'm trying to accomplish here is I'm testing a couple of quick hypotheses about the nature of this forest. My idea is that it's not actually cognizant of anything, it's just reacting to stimuli, especially similar to Specky, but more unconscious, basically using the vines as feelers. It's like a big, big parasitic, like, Venus flytrap. That'll be a 25.
On a 25, it's basically like a swarm of jellyfish. These are all individual creatures.
Yeah.
But a lot of the trees, it looks like, have been somewhat hollowed out by these things and are now living in them, replacing their root system.
Right, so it's not the trees, there's a thing in the tree.
Yeah. Another thing that you notice among these things is... just in this forest in general, the mana concentration is incredibly high.
Mm-hmm.
However, the trees themselves are non-magical. These are mundane trees. So when you look at these things, when the vines are fully retracted, if you try and look at it, it looks like it's blocking their mana signature. They're hiding.
Yeah. All right. That's interesting.
It's using the forest as camouflage.
Yeah, I'm going to cut off a vine real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to squeeze out whatever juice I can into a vial.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And sure. Then can I find, like, are there any little mice or anything running around?
Yeah, you see a couple just, like, scurrying past. One is, like, slightly trapped under some vines trying to get away.
Specky's sample collection.
So Specky is going to go over, pull some of the vines apart, grab the thing, and, like, hold it, turn to you.
Yeah, we're actually going to keep this one alive for the time being. I'm going to take the vial of vine juice, and I'm going to pour it all over the mouse.
Okay. So Specky, so the mouse thing there is going to like start looking around, sniffing at the air, and then start licking at itself.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like it likes it, like it's some sort of food.
All right, but it's sufficiently coated in this vine juice, right?
Yeah,
this vine sauce, as it were.
Boy.
These are the memes, people. Right. So I'm gonna let it go and see if it's actually I'm gonna let it go right in front of one of these trees that would have snatched it. I'm sure people can guess where I'm going with this.
Right. So you let it go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see very quickly that the mouse thing just kind of sits there and starts like licking the stuff off of it, and then it starts smelling around. You see a vine creep out of the bottom of one of the trees, mm-hmm. right? And you see it split slightly, and you mm-hmm. see a fairly a very fairly bright light show up that's
bioluminescence. Like
yeah, bioluminescence, and you smell kind of like this sweet smell, and the rat starts moving towards it.
All right, I'm gonna let it keep going, and see if it gets eaten, even though it's covered in the stuff.
Yeah, so you then see the Venus flytrap head come out, look down at the thing, and then go to grab it.
It's still gonna grab it?
Yeah.
Still gonna eat it?
Yes.
Well, all right then. That's one hypothesis nulled, which is actually good.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not going by scent.
Well, no. My question was, how do they determine what's prey and what's just other vines?
What's prey and what's other vines? So,
well, yeah. So if you can imagine a situation where two vines go for the same rat, and then they grab mm-hmm. each other, what you know, they have to know how to like not eat other vines.
Well, they're kind of the Venus flytraps. They wouldn't be able to. If they tried to grab onto something with what it looks like right now, it would just kind of slip out.
Well, they're tracking prey is the thing, though.
Yes. So if you want to try and figure out specifically how they're doing that, that would be another specific nature check.
All right, let's do another nature check because I want to. It's bioluminescence to attract, which suggests a non-mana based. It suggests that they're not preying on just mana based creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Where the heck is Elias?
I mean, you guys can have fun in that forest. This isn't taking very long, by the way. Like, this no, isn't this is me taking, spending like, hours. This one. Is like 2 minutes watching.
In this forest.
This is him walking through the forest carefully while doing this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is kind of my thing. Alright, that's that's a 22.
On a 22, what you notice is as you're walking through, the vines underneath your feet are kind of responding differently to when you walk somewhere and when Specky walks somewhere.
Well, Specky's up on my shoulder.
Oh, okay. So there's vines and things hanging around as well, right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's
you know, little feelers and stuff. So when you walk somewhere, the vines kind of respond, tighten up, and the forest starts to close in behind you, mm-hmm. right? However, when they touch Specky, specifically like the rocky outside, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't react as strongly.
Interesting. All right, I'm going to have Specky send out a little needle vine into one of those not-eye things as we're walking
okay.
by.
So you're going to have him poke it, right?
Yeah, basically. So
the vine is going to respond to the fungus, right? Like mm-hmm. now that it's exposed and everything. And you're going to see it start to move a lot more quickly, and it's going to pop out and try and grab one of the little fungus tendrils. To which point, Specky, you know, moves its tendril away and kind of smacks it on the face.
All right. So I'm just going to cut off
kind of bats at it.
I'm going to cut off the grabbing arm of that thing.
Okay, you're going to go in and just kind of try and cut one of the vines off real quick?
Yeah, the one that's trying to grab at Specky.
Yeah, yeah. That's easy enough. These things aren't necessarily a threat to something of your size.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've gathered here.
Yeah.
All right. I assume that it stops moving after it's been cut off.
Yeah, the vine stops moving and that thing retreats a bit.
Right. Okay, so from this I can pretty much glean that these things are really
dumb.
They
respond. Well, then they respond heavily to mana.
Yeah. But they're hunting.
However,
they respond heavily to mana, but they're hunting basically non...
Whatever. And they're trapping everything, even stuff that they can't eat.
Yeah. All right. I mean, this doesn't seem that complicated. It's pretty interesting, though, that the most interesting thing here is the fact that they're able to shield their mana.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, camouflage.
Yeah, I'm just going to take samples and keep going. There's nothing immediately pressing for me to deal with right now.
So as you move back, right, as we go back to these guys, the forest is closing around you guys a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's coming closer to us.
yeah, it's closing around you guys. However, when it shifts through the cracks in the trees, you can actually see a fairly large building that is fairly overgrown, but not ridiculously overgrown, right? That does, in fact, have a lot of... you do see a couple of large big rigs in there. And there's a fairly large building with several big rigs out in front of it. And then, of course, rusted out. And then a large building with a lot of open windows with some other parts and things inside.
Open windows?
And by that, I mean broken.
Yeah.
Not every window has to be broken.
I mean, in this case, it is because there's vines and shit everywhere.
These ones do.
That's
Let's cool. see. And there's pretty much overgrowth everywhere. There's no area that would be farthest away from these trees as they are currently, really. Like, it'd be pretty easy for them to get pretty much anywhere they wanted to be.
Right. So, also, in this parking lot that you're in as well, underneath a lot of the vines, you do see a lot of, like cargo containers that would go on the back of these large rigs. And, in fact, a couple of the cabins themselves, but, of course, they're completely unusable. However, what you do notice about the large building that you see through the cracks over there is that it is massively, massively overgrown with some sort of webbing.
And is this
spider-style webbing? Hmm. Like spider web?
Yeah, kind of.
Could you not?
At least it's not leech web.
True.
So, what you notice is as this is starting to close around behind you, as it closes and closes and closes behind you, it's starting to open further and further towards this building with all of the web.
So it's kind of funneling us in there.
That settles that.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you should do what the non-sentient forest wants.
Okay, sure. So the building... So you said it was a very, very large building. It has all this kind of webbing in there?
Yes. All over the place.
Are there any windows, any vantage points we could kind of look in there without, you know, going inside the building?
Yeah, you're still not quite there yet, but what you do see... If you look inside, you know, it's dark because there's a lot of tree coverage. However, behind the building itself, like, you can see through. You don't see any of those trees behind it. And, in fact, there is an exit out onto the roadway. You can see some of the old highway that's only moderately overgrown, comparatively speaking. All right. But there's webbing and shit everywhere.
So above us.
Well, guess we gotta fight the boss to get the treasure.
Above us, is it tree canopy where we are right now? But because we're kind of, you know, in a parking lot, could I send Lil Bro up there to send out kind of a flare to let Elias know where we are?
Sure.
All right, I'll go ahead and.
Sounds like Arcana to me.
The tree eats Lil Bro.
Yeah, I didn't know what skill it was gonna be, but yeah, I'll roll Arcana.
I got something for this if you let me do it. Here, let me send you a message, Daniel.
Sure.
Is a tree gonna eat him?
No.
It better not. If a tree eats little brother, this whole goddamn forest is going down.
Hold on one second.
You should probably burn it down anyway, just to be safe.
Before we see the results of this.
I don't know, Tim, if you're able to adjust the gain and turn it down a little bit on your... Because, I'm hearing feedback in your microphone and in Michael's microphone. And it's...
Yeah, I
kind of
hear what you're talking about.
Okay, so
it's not any better now.
Miles better.
Yeah. So you're gonna fire out that flare.
Yeah. Let me sit back down in my chair real quick.
No, I'm not touching the fan.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna go ahead roll my Arcana to send out Lil Bro to kind of have him send out a signal flare above us. You know, fly up there and drop down. Some flashy lights, you know, go all crazy up there. See if you can catch Elias's attention.
All right, roll it.
All right.
23 in total.
Oh.
All right. So you fire up a flare. It cuts right through a little hole in the in the forest canopy, lighting up the some of the area around you guys as you go. And oh, look, right behind you, holding a match, there's Elias.
Oh, hi, Patton. What's the flare for?
Oh, well, see, I told you, Jerry, it would work perfect. There he is.
So he's holding up a couple of matches, and you see, as he's holding them up, he also has, like, a couple of severed plant vines in his hands, and, you know, anytime something, like, tries to grab onto his leg or something, he just kind of cuts it, holds up some fire to it, and it retreats, skittering away.
Yeah, you'd notice that my clothes are, like, not dirty in the slightest. Like, this has basically just been a walk in the park.
Meow.
Yeah, Spicky, it does seem like it's thinning out here. I think this is probably, a funnel of some kind, though it does seem...
Yep, looks like they're pushing us towards that building over
there. Yeah, I would avoid going in there, for the time being.
I think that's where we're going.
Well, you see, I have a sort of working theory for this. Whatever this, forest is non-sentient, of course, but, it's not actually funneling. The forest isn't actually funneling us here. It's just that this is sort of a dead zone that whatever's in the building is utilizing to draw things into it. So I would expect some kind of large... I don't want to say monster, but a creature of some kind. Oh, is that webbing? Yeah, it's spiders. Large spiders.
Meow.
Well, all we need is a large boot or a newspaper. We'll be good.
So Specky is going to, turn its little, a bit of its fungus thing into, like, the rat-sized thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, to a rat-sized creature, and it's going to go, meow, and it's going to, like, put it towards its mouth, meow, but it's going to make, like, you know, like, big one, and it's going to try and, like, it's going to, like, pantomime putting it in its mouth, but it's too big, meow.
Well, yes, the forest doesn't eat things of our size, Specky, but whatever's in that building might.
Meow.
Well, yes, I sort of figured that, but it's a decent hypothesis. So, I would suggest that we leave. I assume you have the parts we need or whatever it was.
That's a good one, Elias. You think it works like that ever for us?
Well, yes, I would hope.
I mean, that's why we're heading towards the building. We gotta fight the spider to get the parts.
Well, I'm not sure that's actually true. You see, there's plenty of other truck stops, and I doubt that they all have this sort of forest around them, unless...
That works in every work fiction I ever seen.
Well, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, John, but we're not actually in a movie at this point. Well, I mean, other than Jerry's show, and I certainly hope that he's not hamming it up for the audience too much.
Well, I think it makes for a pretty good story.
Could I, like, send the camera up to the windows just to look? Like, not send Zep, but just the camera? Okay.
Sure, yeah. Like, well, Zep has to carry the camera, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and roll perception, too, on the webs to see if I can see if there's anything... I want to see if there's any large skeletons in the webs.
That's a 16. Oh, wait, do I get a bonus to perception? Yeah, I do.
Do you have a bonus to perception?
Yeah. Plus one group awareness. Non-elf allies within 5 squares.
All right, so that's a 17 then.
I'm going to roll perception, 17 but total? Not on the building.
Yeah, in total.
Okay. 17 in total. Looks like a lot of webs.
In the building?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to roll perception to see if I can spot any large bones in the webs, as in not rats and things. That will be a 25.
25?
Yeah.
Yes. So you notice a lot of some large skeletons that you would recognize as, like, goblins, some hobgoblins. And, oh, hey, look, there's also some, like... some interesting stuff in there, like a glove and a gun.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Could you... This is out of character, but could you not? I don't want to go in with the spiders.
I'm going to bully you into this building regardless, Elias, so...
Well, you shouldn't have said that we can go somewhere else.
Well, we're not going anywhere else. Like, Jerry is not going anywhere else. Sorry.
Rating just so style. You know, there were many.
We left
there
from
were
a
many
train
packs.
Yard. We're on railroad tracks. We're going to the building.
Stop bullying me. I don't want to be here. There's spiders.
You should want to be here. There's spiders.
We don't really have any other easy option. We don't have a large amount. We have some fire, but we don't have enough to burn our way out, to burn a new path out of here.
Just so you know, there are many different ways you can attack this problem.
Yeah. I'm just saying, that's the obvious one.
Is that glove... Do I recognize that glove as a pair of the glove, or that's DB's glove?
On a 25? Yeah.
It's DB's glove? Okay.
Yeah. And the gun is pretty hard to miss. It's monogrammed. And it's gigantic. It's a big-ass Desert Eagle.
And we were brought... Okay, see, this is out of character, but Jerry, you should have realized this by now, though, right?
I mean, I said something to the effect of, oh, DB wouldn't go anywhere near spiders, so he wouldn't be here because he hates spiders.
No, but
you didn't know
okay.
that there were spiders here. Also, remember how I asked you,
are you broadcasting live? And you said we're going to go east of the train tracks?
Oh. Oh, shit.
he would have gone wherever you guys were going.
Yeah. Because he's trying to be useful and helpful.
Oh. Yeah, I should have figured that out.
This is why it's so painful for me to play out, to play in character.
Michael sent me so many Discord PMs yelling this exact thing.
Please.
Just,
okay.
Like, I knew something was up with that question. Also.
No, it was with my phone. All right, so there's a couple different ways
also,
we can...
Also, like, it wouldn't make any sense, would it, to broadcast live in between non-live pieces?
Huh?
Like...
What?
No, okay, let me do a quick aside to describe how Jerry's show basically works. When Jerry is in an area with ready access to the radio stations and things like that that he's going to be going to... He can broadcast live fairly easily, no problem. However, when you're doing something that has a lot of dead air involved, that needs to be edited out, things like that, like when you're out on the road, then he's actually making episodes.
Right, so... Right?
Oh, okay,
you don't
so
want to broadcast
is also just live.
Right, because you don't want to broadcast live when it's just, you know, 2 hours of you guys driving
nothing.
Somewhere with nothing happening.
And he explicitly asked, if he was broadcasting live.
I'm not saying I was just wondering, like,
why he would broadcast live or not.
I just think it'd be weird if, like, we go on an adventure and then we broadcast live and then later on the adventure happens even though it happened before the live bit.
Well, you gotta also factor in that I mean, need to be, like, consistently doing as much broadcasting as I can or I die.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've got a thing that works for you.
Yeah, it's...
Well, you can think of it as him splitting it into two segments because there's episodes which are adventures, and then there's, like, Chillin' with Thalatak, where he's just, like, interviewing people and talking live while you wait for... You know, Vice does that kind of shit all the time, where it's like, hey, we've got this episode that's coming out soon, but here's a sneak peek of the aftermath where we talk to people about it.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. when you're in town right. just talking to
I
people,
I think my question's
broadcast.
Been answered.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right,
but there's a couple of different ways that we can go about doing whatever's going on right now.
You might want to do this in character.
Well, yeah. I can't.
Okay.
So
it is reasonable for me to know this, so I'm going to just say
No. Elias needs to give you guys some info here.
Okay.
Right. Yes. Well, I think we actually do need to do something about this because DB's glove and DB's gun is in a web up there. Thankfully, I don't see any... bones. It's safe to assume he's still alive. I think someone like him who would have escaped from the Underdark is quite adept at dealing with spiders or arachnid of this size. So he should be well versed in avoiding them, but he's not going to be happy about this situation. So we should probably help, is what I'm saying here.
All right, now Eliza's on board. Let's figure out how to approach this here. So probably setting it all on fire is not a good idea.
No.
We can do that after.
Afterward, yes.
No, let's not do that.
This is a dangerous place.
I'm not sure if you've ever seen what a forest fire does, but things that are living in a forest, when a forest fire happens, tend to leave the forest quite quickly and in an agitated state. Whatever large creatures might be in here would leave into the surrounding areas, and we probably don't want that.
Hmm. What if we set those creatures on fire?
John, you seem to be hung up on this sort of set things on fire aspect here.
I don't like this thing being so close to the congregation.
It won't actually move towards the congregation. At least not anytime soon. There's not really small creatures or easy access to the congregation from here. It probably needs a strong water source. It needs food. And, it needs to be in a sort of abandoned area. There's really no reason for whatever somewhat sentient, possibly, creatures to move towards the congregation, where they'd face stiff resistance and possibly culling.
Well, I don't like it, but if you say...
Just as a quick aside, would this mean that John doesn't really buy into the whole one of God's wonderful mysteries of divine creation or whatever with this thing?
You can believe that a cougar is a wonderful mystery of God's creation and still stop it from
eating you. And not want it in your house.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great, but also don't eat my friend.
Fair enough. Like,
bears are a wonderful mystery of God's creation, but you don't go hug them.
I mean...
My gun is a wonderful mystery of God's creation.
Why don't go introduce the two?
I don't think it is.
So,
rude. God made man. Smith and Wesson made him equal.
So, anyway... Right. As you guys look in, so what are you gonna do here?
How big is this
the
building?
The forest the size of the building, right. So what it is like if you see on the map there's this huge trucks, like, you know, there's this huge complex with a couple of big buildings and like the big ass parking lot, which would be, it's like ATD or ADSA or whatever. I don't actually know what that stands for. But then to the east of that, near 440, is the Peterbilt store.
Peterbilt store. Okay.
Yeah, this is it's like 1 to 2 floors, you know, like 1.5 really, with a bunch of big rigs and shit in front of it.
Yeah, you can actually put a little this actually looks pretty cool. Yeah, you can put your little Google Maps guy down on the road and look at the store itself from the road. Yeah, it's a big warehouse, basically.
Yeah, it's a big old warehouse with a lot of these big shit on it.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it's the Peterbilt store there. There's, you know, a lot of it's basically a large warehouse surrounded by a big parking lot covered in webs, snaking in and out of the various entrances to the warehouse.
And there's a lake on the other side, right?
Yep.
That's actually important.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
This thing is going to be consuming water like a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I know what I want to do. But if anybody else has suggestions before I start taking the reins.
There's just one thing I want to check real quick. I'm pretty sure I know the answer to it is no, but the mana that Jerry sensed earlier, is it more concentrated in this building, which is we're being funneled towards, or is it, you know, not, you know?
No, it's just this whole area is magical. He rolled in that one.
Okay, no, if that's anything, right. If anything, right. There's going to be far less mana in the building.
That's what I was thinking. I just wanted to check.
Yeah, it sounds like the whole thing just kind of happened to happen, and it just kind of worked. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there's some intent here.
That's what John got out of it.
Well, I'm thinking of just walking straight in to get some really good shots. Yeah, it's a parasite.
That's a horrible idea.
Walk right in to get some real good shots of me being eaten alive.
Hey guys, it's Jerry here, filming my own death. Check it out.
Vice journalism.
We should definitely try and figure out where the thing is first.
I don't know. Like, I'm not going to drive the car inside there right now. We're going to fucking take a peek and see if we can find this thing.
All right, I'm going to get back to character while we do.
This is biologist territory.
Can I see the lake from here, or is it too dense?
It's pretty dense. You might be able to catch a little glimpse of it.
All right.
The sunlight reflects off the water.
It seems like the primary water source for this forest is over that way. So if you'd like to secure a means of escape should things get a little too hairy, I think it would behoove us to take a quick trip over to the lake.
I mean, this is your specialty.
Well, yeah, it shouldn't take too long. I want to go over to the lake, and I want...
Okay, so the way this is going to work is you guys get funneled into this area as you're, you know, as you start driving and moving down further. The trees do form behind you.
Yeah.
And eventually do just form a wall, kind of close back into a circle as they spit you out here, basically, and then reform and tighten back around as it just kind of seals you back in here. So when it comes to this this building itself, there is webbing all over the place, well into the parking lot and surrounding areas. It seems like getting past it without triggering the web in some way is going to be very, very difficult.
So I can't just walk to the pine. No. We're in a stupid funnel web trap. Great. Okay.
Yeah, it's a funnel. Yeah, it's a spider. It's not going to go like, ooh, yes, I'm just going to kind of leave the web only in this very specific area.
Well, I want to go around the outskirts of the wall of trees. And
yeah.
Do I have enough?
No, yeah, you can do that.
Do I have enough matches to just sort of, I mean, if they can't follow along with me, it's not a big deal. What I want to do is I want to go around the outside, make my way through the trees, which shouldn't be too difficult because they're dumb. And Patton, you've got poison on you, right?
Oh, most assuredly.
Uh-huh.
No, I literally was.
Probably something that inhibits mana uptake would be ideal, but inhibits growth would also be a big help.
I mean, I've got your run-of-the-mill
insecticide might be helpful
Dr. Patton's patent-pending pesticide potion, but I mean...
Oh, that'll work.
All right.
I think that's what we're looking for.
All right. I want to take this stuff, and I want to... Can I make it over to the... I mean, even if they can't follow me, I just want to get over to the lake.
Okay, what are you... How are you trying to do that, and what are you doing?
Well, I want to use smacking shit out of the way, matches, and... my natural sense of, you know, moving through forests and shit. And what I'm trying to accomplish is I want to poison the shit out of the main roots that are taking up water.
Yep.
Oh, what, from the trees?
Yeah, for the trees. I'm not trying to kill
the... Wait, those are on the opposite side of where the lake is.
Wait. Are we not surrounded by trees?
Not anymore. Basically, okay, so the way that this works is, I said it spat you out, right? The main circle is around this big old fucking parking lot, right?
Yeah.
Do you see this little small, like, yard in front of the store? Like, to the west of the store?
Hold on.
That's basically where you guys are. That's basically where you guys are.
We need to take a screenshot of this for people watching.
Yeah. That's essentially where you guys are, with a wall of trees behind you. In front of you is basically standard run-of-the-mill overgrowth, very, very dense tree coverage to your left and right. And in front of you, stretching out all the way through this whole parking lot area, is this big-ass spider web.
Right, so there's no none of these magical-looking, none of these magical parasite trees attached to the lake.
None that you can see.
So it's just regular
water sources.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. remember, the trees themselves are not magical.
Well, yeah, it's just the vines in them.
Yeah, the vines in them seem to are carnivorous.
All right, that kills my plan. I was going to poison it so we could have a nice escape route.
I mean, you could
still.
I feel
like poisoning an entire lake would be both very difficult, not a good idea for the
environment.
If
you wanted to run back into the vine swarm, you could by reopening a opening, potentially.
Well, I guess I'm just... actually, can I make that a readied thing where I have that stuff ready to go?
Yeah, you can just have it.
Right. Well, I'll just take that from Patton. Patton, it shouldn't be necessary right now, but I'll take some of those pesticides, and should the need arise, I believe I'll be able to get us out of the situation rather quickly.
It is technically possible to get over the lake. It would just be difficult.
Yeah,
right?
But there's nothing for me to do over the lake.
Okay.
Because you already said that the vines aren't over there, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no. I thought you were doing something else. I thought you were going to like try and wait for the spider to come drink or something. I don't know.
Yeah, because the spider's got to drink, right?
No.
Yeah, after he eats DB.
Yeah, that's...
I was going to say, yeah, let's not like...
Yeah, I just meant like maybe we could find a better way in from over there.
It's potential.
Because it's not like the main front of the trap.
Well, but we don't know what kind of spider this is.
Well, we have to move through the trap to get over there, so...
Yeah.
And you're the biologist here.
Well, actually, can I roll perception again?
Sure.
Actually, would this be perception or nature? I'm looking for sticky webs versus non-sticky webs, you know.
Sure. That would be nature.
All right, I'm going to go nature. I'm looking for, you know, if spiders always have the webs that they walk on versus the webs that they don't walk on, you know, sticky versus not sticky. Oh, my. That's a 28.
28?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got a pretty good grasp on this web structure. The thing that's interesting is the reason why it's so dense is that there are a lot of differing webs of differing diameters, right?
So there's lots of spiders.
Yes. That is what you can infer.
Why are there
lots? There's some very, very thick webs, and then, you know, they kind of size down to smaller.
Is there a particular strand of web that's repeated more than the others?
Yes. The one that's the most prevalent would be the largest one.
And I assume that the others range in size from, like, hamster to Labrador.
Yes.
Cool.
If you had to guess what could support it, yeah.
Now, Elias, cool. I have a question.
Yes, Ben.
Do you have any idea, what type of spider could be in these buildings, or if they're all of the same type? Is it more of a notice something on the web and go out and swarm it, or wait for something
all
to
right,
get
I'm gonna
stuck?
Take a rock from the ground and I'm gonna aim
it. Hold on, Elias. Uh-oh. Before you throw that, let's go ahead.
That doesn't look like a good idea.
Let's not throw it so close to us. No offense, but I don't know if
you're
no
I'm
if
not gonna throw it close
arm.
To us. Don't worry about this. While Patton is talking, I'm going to take this rock, and if there's, like, I want to say, like, puppy dog-sized, like, chihuahua-sized web off in the corner.
Wouldn't Elias be familiar with something like this? Like, hasn't he seen something like this before, you know? Maybe?
Yes, Jerry.
He's seen spiders before.
But, that wasn't here.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do.
He literally... literally...
throw the damn rock.
I'm throwing the rock, but you do remember that there were redwood trees in the vision?
Oh. Oh.
That's not here.
Oh, that, yeah, no, you're wrong.
I do know that that wasn't here. So, okay. Yes, I'm going to throw a rock at the chihuahua-sized one.
Okay, so you throw the rock, which is... A lot of these smaller webs are crisscrossing underneath. A lot of these are, like, rusted out, ruined big rigs. And actually, some of them are in, all things considered, decent shape, as the spider webbing and things have acted as a sort of a nature shield, right?
Yeah.
But you,
so it
you
looks
toss
like they've
one
been here for
and,
a long time.
Yeah. You toss one down there, and from the underside of one of those undercarriages, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see a large, spooky spider crawl out, try and dash at the rock, kind of poke at it a little bit, and then turn around. But as it turns around, what you're going to see is... here, let me pull up my notes really quick. What you're going to see is... And this is gonna piss you off.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it will.
Yeah, as it turns around, you're going to see that these creatures, they're not entirely spiders.
Oh, cool.
They're about half spider. And by that I mean, you know how you were like trying to find something that's about puppy dog sized?
Yeah, it's actual half puppy dog, half spider.
Kind of, yeah. So you see this thing, it's got, you know, the eight compound eyes, the mouth, mandibles, but it seems to be kind of growing out of this thing's, out of this, like, dog husk that seems to be maybe alive? Like, you can't quite tell if it's part of it or if it's the sort of thing where they, you know, as Elias is looking at it, a couple of theories that pop in are, it's a mutated thing.
No,
it's
the
something
first,
that it, grows inside of things.
My first thought is it's one of those damn, It's a spider wasp thing that lays its eggs inside of a larger
dogs?
Creature.
Right. So
like
as you say that, as that thing crawls back under, you then see out of another one of the webs that's slightly connected. You remember how you saw like the hobgoblin?
Yeah.
You see that crawl out. You know, it's got the six legs poking out, and it's got its two front arms and its two front legs that seem to be ambulatory in some way. It crawls out, tries to like grab at the rock thing, turns to you guys, and you know, it's got the eyes, but the hobgoblin eyes are still functional. It looks like it's just like looking around, skitters back underneath one of the trucks.
You're really piling on the nightmare stuff here, aren't you?
Yes.
Right, so
you're really, really going for like how scary these spiders are. Not just regular scary spiders, but some sort of weird zombie scary spiders.
Ooh. I'm excited because this looks great on TV.
John's not excited.
Right.
John is sarcastically berating God for allowing this.
I actually have a really fucked up idea, and you're gonna have to let me know if this works. But I have a really fucked up idea.
What?
You know how there's fungus that lands on ants?
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. It grows into them, and then it controls them?
Yeah, Specky isn't that type of fungus. If Specky was that type of fungus, you would be dead by now.
But I want Specky to make a fruiting body so I can have a spider drone.
No.
But
no,
cool.
Specky is not currently advanced enough to create an entire fucking fungal nerve system to take control of a living creature.
That's unfortunate. We'll have to work on that.
I don't like
we'll
that.
We'll have to work on that one.
See, no, Specky is not cordyceps right now.
Yeah, right now. That's the thing. We'll work on it.
This conversation is scarier than the spider
zombies. The idea flashes through. Through Elias's mind, and I turn to look at Specky. Specky turns to look at me. We'll work on that one, Specky.
Now, what I'm wondering is if
Specky looks vaguely unnerved.
Because I can
good.
We can cause a commotion. So if there's enough of a commotion,
Patton, let me stop you right there. That's a very bad idea.
That sounds like a terrible idea, Patton. It looked good, but that is actually a terrible idea.
Cause a commotion just means that you'll make everything active. It seems that these are more solitary hunters than anything else, but they group together for convenience. They probably don't eat each other too often, but...
No, what I'm saying is, I don't know if we would be able to cause a distraction, because... We can, you know, as far, you know, far away from us as possible, we can drop, you know, we can cause some motion in the webs. I can simply have little bro drop some, just drop some detritus over there, cause some, some twinges on the webs, get a distraction going. But then as we approach, twinges from this side, I'm trying to think of how we can get in here.
The problem with that idea is that, vibrations through the webs will just serve to make everything active, so even if it's in one area, the vibrations will quickly spread. Any sufficient amount of motion will sort of trigger there's lots of things here response, which will bring everything out, which we've been here too lucky to avoid. But we probably don't want to press our luck too much.
That's true.
I'm sorry, Speck, could you say that one more time?
Mrock.
A truck? Truck?
I think it's
luck, yes. Specky's been learning to talk a little more. It's rather adorable. Yeah, that's...
Ooh, he's using multiple syllables.
Well, it's really more of the same syllable, but...
DB screams astrally while we're talking about how cute this fucking cat is.
Actually, no, I'm not gonna try and connect to any astral plane here. Fuck that.
Your soul is astrally eaten by spiders.
Yeah. Trying to connect to the astral spider web to get eaten by astral spiders.
Yeah, I'm completely out of ideas. I've got literally nothing.
There's tons of things you could do.
Soul.
I'm trying to think of things.
Tons of things John could do. Tons of things Jerry could do. Tons of things you could do. My idea revolves around DB's probably dead. Let's leave. I mean, he's actually probably not dead. We could probably get him out. But does he still have that walkie-talkie on him? Does he have a walkie-talkie?
Probably.
Yeah, somebody check the frequency.
Oh, okay. You know, I don't know why I didn't think of that. But yeah, let's...
I just assumed spiders can hear things. Can they not hear things?
They can sense the vibrations.
I mean, we're talking back and forth right now, so...
Outside,
but
we aren't where DB is.
If there's vibrations coming from DB, it's not going to matter. They already know he's still alive and making vibrations.
I mean, unless he's being perfectly still, not making any noise in a small enclosed space, and then you give him a call and summon a bunch of spiders.
So while you guys are discussing this, I'm just going to press the button. Hey, DB, you alive in there?
So you... You fucking idiots.
Why would you do that?
You're going to see
too fucking
like
long,
just
that's
out
why.
Of one of these out of one of these holes, right? You're going to see a gigantic, just actual spider. This one doesn't look messed up in any weird way, right?
Mm-hmm.
This one is just colossal, right?
Oh shit.
We're talking grizzly bear size or bigger.
We're talking, let me pull up exactly the stats on it. So we're talking slightly bigger
than a grizzly bear.
Yes. Approximately, well, a large natural creature occupies a 2x2 square in all directions. So it's approximately 10 feet tall by at least 10 feet wide.
Oh, cool. Do I need to roll initiative now?
No. It crawls out of one
We haven't decided.
It crawls out of one of these side holes where the trucks are. It crawls right back into another one. You hear some like hissing and like clattering and stuff, but you don't hear any screams.
Yeah, because DB's not going to scream because he's not a silly Billy.
Yes.
I take the radio from Jerry.
So, however, what you do see is out of one of the other entrances, you see a radio come flying, right? Flying out, crashes into a web, and the big thing turns around and goes back over towards that, and then sort of settles back into pacing around looking for what just did that.
All right, let's light it on fire.
He's not trapped in there, so...
What? You just saw that he is.
Oh, I thought you said he threw it from somewhere else.
He threw a walkie-talkie out from somewhere that you couldn't see because he's hiding.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying like the building on fire. No. These webs are fresh, so they're not going to be... Some of them are wet, right?
Yes.
So it's not a tinderbox. This place isn't going to light up instantaneously. Correct?
Correct.
Probably.
Yes. Okay. See, that's the thing is, everybody thinks spider webs, but you're thinking cobwebs. Cobwebs and spider webs are two different things. Cobwebs are old webs that are sitting in a corner and are basically like tinder. The spider webs don't actually burn that well.
They just like kind of get cut. Like if you
they shrivel up. So what we're going to do is I'm going to hand everybody matches. We're going to start wrapping spiderweb around some sticks. The smaller ones, just step on them. The hamster-sized ones, doesn't matter. I'm doing this in character, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to light these torches, and we're just going to start cutting a path towards where DB is. And I want to have Specky, start, number one, I'm going to get one of the small mutated ones. Can I get a small hamster one? Is there a hamster one for me to get?
Not currently right here. This is going to be something that you're going to have to actually try to do.
All right. What would I need to roll to find a hamster-sized one to collect?
While you're doing this?
I could do it later. It's okay. I could do it when we leave.
Could I fashion a handle on my chain? Like at the end of it?
It has a handle, doesn't it?
He's
talking to pull DB out.
Yeah. Okay. Like a little...
It's made of barbed wire.
Yeah, you have to wrap like a towel on it or something.
Do we have towel?
Oh my god.
You could wrap some canopy or some
some canvas. Basically though, what you're doing is you're ripping up some webs and fashioning spider web torches out of them, basically.
Correct.
Okay. Because old spider web and spider web in general is to some extent flammable. It's not like a tinderbox, but it will burn.
Yes, that's my thinking.
Yeah. Right. Yes. So, but once you start doing this, right? The second you start making some of these webs, shit is going to hit the fan. So,
yeah, I'm aware of that, but what we're doing is
I have a gun.
We're going to need to cut a path, and we're going to need to do it quickly. Otherwise, he's going to be stuck in there.
Right,
but I mean, it's either that, or we try to sneak around the webs.
There's no way John can sneak around webs.
Yeah, exactly.
It's okay, just not going
to
happen.
Elias starts making some of these torches and handing out to people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At which point you see a lot of motion and vibration coming from these webs, right? The spiders start to come out. Elias, I assume, like, lights one of them, right?
One of the spiders?
No, lights your torch, right?
Yeah,
probably that too.
Right? You start, waving it around. It keeps things at bay a little bit as you start burning your way through things. And yes, of course, this is going to be a skills challenge. And that's where we're going to end the episode. As you guys are in a shady ass canopy, as you guys are now currently all holding lit spider web torches, as the horde of half creature, half spider things is coming at you.
And that'll do it for this episode of Revival, a Dungeons and Dragons real play podcast. That was episode 30. And, looks like our boy's gotten a real sticky situation. Yeehaw. Anyway, you can find the show and all of the areas that it's hosted on www.lmtya.com. That's short for Let Me Tell You About. You can also use the preferred address, which is letmetellyouabout.moe. You can find Michael and Dan. They stream pretty regularly on Twitch at bro_operatives. You can also find us all hanging out in the Discord, which we have in the description here. And I want to apologize for Matt's audio. I found out after the recording that his dog ate the cord for his really expensive microphone that was bought to him by the Patreon people. So apologies to them, and I made sure to smack the shit out of Matt. Anyway, like I said, that'll do it for this episode, and we'll see you guys next week.